Anytime you find a Bible preaching, Christ exalting, kingdom advancing church, you will find Satan. And the Bible says we are not to be ignorant of his schemes. How do the forces of darkness make war against churches? I thought it would be good to speculate and to speak out loud about that question as we start this series. What kinds of things do the spiritual enemies of the church try to do to assault us? You might want to write these down. I know there are at least six areas. And the first is attacks on the family. If I was Satan, I think the first thing I would do is attack Christian families. I would make divorce as common among Christians as it is among non-Christians. I would cause kids to rebel against their parents and parents to despise their kids. And I would put so much tension in the home that Christians would have to show up at church and put on fake faces and pretend to be happy. Does that sound like our world? And it's because we're at war. And the second thing I'd do if I was Satan is attempt to divorce morality from spirituality. I would fill the church with hypocrisy. I would spread the idea that as long as you have your orthodoxy right and you do a few things right at church, you can live like you want during the week. You can choose whatever ethic you want. You can be sexually impure. You can be a grumpy, miserable, unforgiving person. You can be a coarse, crude person. You can be unethical in your business. Just the other day, a single woman told me that some guy from this church approached her on a weekend about sleeping together. And when she said that wasn't what God would want, he said, "Oh, don't talk to me about that. Me and God have our own thing working and everything's cool." And so here's a guy who could sit in our pews, sing hallelujah, praise Jehovah, raise up his hand and live in absolute darkness on Saturday night and not have a problem. If I was Satan, that's exactly what I'd try to do. Folks, we're at war. I'll tell you what else. I would create the allowance for continued spiritual infancy. I would have churches where people have been Christians for 20 or 30 or 40 years and they are still immature. They still get upset about petty things. They still are afraid to share their faith. And I would call that normal. I would expect nothing else. In fact, every now and then you would have a few people that rise above that and truly become spiritual giants, but I'd call them the special and even the weird Christians and tell the rest of you not to get so fanatic. We're at war. You know what I'd do if I was Satan? I would assault the unity of the church. I would create division. I would foster pride and enmity among believers. I would get people to speak cruelly of their leaders. I would get people to get so upset and bothered about peripheral issues that have nothing to do with the cross and take a little splinter group and go start a new church. And I would cackle with glee every time it happened. Does that sound like the Christian landscape in America? We are at war. If I was Satan, I would constantly appeal to works righteousness. I would want to undo the cross because if there's one thing that makes Satan pale, it's a glimpse of Calvary. And so I would constantly try to convince people that you earn your way to heaven, that by your correct orthodoxy, by your correct practice, you can achieve, you can earn, and you can merit the right to stand before God if you just try hard enough. And I would absolutely undo the message of salvation by grace through faith, and I would call any preacher who taught that a liberal. We're at war. And then, if I was Satan, I would create an environment where the acceptance of spiritual poverty is the norm. I wouldn't want Christians to know about their riches in Christ. I wouldn't want them to know that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I wouldn't want them to be sure of their salvation and know of all the inheritance that is theirs in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something. You say, where'd you come up with those six ideas? I didn't make them up. I just gave you a backwards outline of the book of Ephesians. Because when you get to chapter 6, verse 10, and Paul says, finally, he is not introducing his last subject. He is introducing his last word on the same subject. The whole book has been, how do you live heavenly in a hellish world? And he says, the first thing you got to understand is your inheritance in Christ, chapter 1, 3 through 23. You've got to know that every spiritual blessing is yours in Christ in the heavenly realms. You've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, I just pray that you will come to some understanding of what your inheritance is. And then chapter 2, 1 through 10, he says, I'll remind you that you were once sinners. You were slaves and sons of wickedness. You were in the control of the spirit of the air. But because of the mercy of God through Christ Jesus, you have been raised up, seated with Christ. You have been saved by grace through faith, not of works, so that you don't boast about it. Then chapter 2, 11 through about chapter 4, verse 6, I would remind you of what happened at the cross. The wall of hostility was torn down. The races were brought together in Jesus Christ. I would tell you in chapter 3 that this is the mystery revealed to Paul, that the Gentiles are now heirs of the Israel just like the Jews are. I would tell you in chapter 4 that there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of us all. And I would remind you to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then in chapter 4, verse 7 through 16, I would remind you that it's you're now under obligation to grow up in Christ. That you are not to stay infants tossed to and fro by every fad or idea that comes along. Instead, you are to attain to the full measure of the richness of Christ.